Morning. Surprises then. I wonder what kind of emotions, feelings you were experiencing as we looked at those pictures. Or as in that time of quiet, you reflected on things that have perhaps happened to you this year. Different emotions, I would imagine, a big range depending on what the event was. I had a really lovely surprise on Wednesday morning, I think it was. A girl who I teach in year eight for both maths and religious studies, RS, came knocking on the office door and saying that she wanted to see me, and went out to see her, and she'd got this little brown cardboard box. It's only about this size. And she said, "This is for you." And she opened it up, and inside were some tins of food, and some packets, pasta sauce, cup of soups, things like that. Previous day, in both, I'd had her for RS, which we only have once a week, and for maths on the previous day. And we'd ended up at one point talking about, don't ask me why in a maths lesson, but talking about the wise men and the gifts and people bringing their gifts to Jesus. And I'd gone on to say how one of the things that arises from that for many people today, and not just Christians, is at this time of year, they don't just think about giving presents to people who they're close to, but also giving presents, gifts to those who are in need, particularly the hungry, the homeless, those who are struggling. And I'd been explaining how on Tuesday, when I finish school for the Christmas break, I'll be heading to Morrison's, not to buy things for myself, though I might, but to stand in the doorway, handing out leaflets, asking people to put an extra item or two in with their shopping for the basement project, a project that helps young people aged 16 to 25 who are at risk of being homeless or actually are homeless, who are sofa surfing perhaps. And she'd gone home and told her mum about this, and her mum had gone through the cupboards and found some stuff to bring. So I'm adding that to the collection on Tuesday. I was really touched by that. It really meant a lot to me, that gift from this little girl. The thoughtfulness was given to me, but actually, I don't know who it's going to be for. I don't know where it's going to end up, who's going to be blessed by that gift. Perhaps there are some connections there to Mary. Obviously not in terms of the range of emotions. What did she feel? What experiences did she have? It's not surprising that her response to what the angel said to her was, what's on the next slide? Oh. But how, she says, and again this is from the message, how can this be? How can I be going to have a child? I have never slept with a man. And the angel continues the conversation with her and explains how this can be, and how the child that she is going to bear will be called the Son of the Most High, Holy, Son of God. And using the illustration of her cousin Elizabeth, the fact that she had become pregnant when in old age, with God nothing is impossible. And Mary then says through that conversation, she moves from this, how on earth can this be, and this kind of shock and horror, I would imagine, to one of acceptance. Yes, I see it all now. I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her, and Mary went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And in conversation with her, her emotions change again. Perhaps we can have the next slide. And through that conversation, she then suddenly bursts out with this song, with these words, which I'm going to read off the screen. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Change in emotions. From unacceptance, perhaps, surprise, horror, shock, to acceptance, to a song of joy. The Magnificat, as it's called in many Christian traditions, where it's often one of the most repeated portions of scripture, and not just at this time of year. How was Mary able to find joy in those circumstances? About 14 years old, being told she was going to be pregnant. She was engaged to be married, but it was to be a virgin birth. We don't know exactly how she felt. We only have those few words. But we can see that she found joy in those difficult circumstances. How do we take to heart the words that the Apostle James writes in his letter? Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. I guess a starting point might be to understand what joy means. It's not the same as being happy, is it? It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, it's something that God works into our lives as he works with us to make us more like Jesus. It's an attitude, something that might be expressed in emotion, as Mary does in those particular words. But to me, I think it's not just an emotion. It's more than that. It's something really kind of deep-seated, something very settled in our lives that's not dependent upon the circumstances, things going on around us. One of my other favourite bits of the Christmas story to do with Mary is later on when people come and visit the shepherds, the wise men. And it says those words, Mary pondered those things in her heart. To me, that has that same sense of settledness, of something deep seated within her that we might call joy, independent of circumstances, even very difficult ones. How did she have that ability to have that attitude in the things that were happening to her? Three things that I want to just try and bring out that I felt that God spoke to me about. One was that Mary knew God's word. Secondly, that there was a personal promise involved from God's word. And thirdly, that Mary belonged. Mary knew scripture. She would have known a Jewish prophecy from Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, where the prophet Isaiah says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." One of many prophecies given to God's people, to the nation of Israel, concerning the future, particularly prophecies that were given when they were being held in captivity, when they didn't have their own land, couldn't often be their own people, practice in the way that they felt was right before God. Some of that was down to their own disobedience. But they had these promises that one day there would be a Messiah, a saviour. And this was the promise that said how that Messiah would come, a virgin conceiving, that his name would be called Emmanuel. And every Jewish woman would have hoped that it might become their privilege to be the mother of the Messiah, whether they understood or knew how that would happen. But that was their hope. Prophecy would have brought comfort to Mary, wouldn't it, in terms of what the angel was saying to her. Despite being female and therefore not considered worthy of lots of teaching, as the male Israelites were, she would have known some of the Jewish scriptures. She would have known the stories of God's people, of her people, stories of God's faithfulness, how God had acted in the past, how he'd provided for his people in difficult circumstances. Those things would have been part of her life and perhaps enabling her to find joy in a difficult circumstance. And we need to know, don't we? We need to know how God has acted in the past, the stories about God, the things of God, both from Scripture, from the past, from the Old Testament, from the New Testament, and from our own lives, how God has acted in the lives of people, how he's continued to show his love and his faithfulness. Where do we go when circumstances become difficult? Do we go to his word? To look at scripture? To see how God has worked in the past? Do we think about things that have happened to us in the past? God didn't promise when we became a Christian that life would be straightforward, that everything would be perfect, that there wouldn't be any difficulties. Says the Apostle Peter says, in this life you will have trials. Knowing God, his character, who he is, how he acts, perhaps knowing and being secure in that before difficulties comes into our lives that challenge our faith means that we can face them with a confidence and a joy. Might not be happy because they're difficult circumstances, but we can know a joy of the Holy Spirit. And knowing that God allows things like that to happen in our lives for a reason. To purify our faith, as those words in Peter go on to say, but also perhaps being part of a plan and a future that might not just be about us, as it was for Mary. Secondly, Mary had a personal promise, didn't she? That prophecy was for her. It was for the whole nation of Israel, the promise of a Messiah, someone who would come as saviour. But it was actually happening through her. She was the one who God had chosen. God personally spoke to her and made those verses, that prophecy, hers. The general promise becoming a personal one to her. I wonder how many times in subsequent years she went back to that promise, back to that encounter with the angel and everything that he said. Particularly perhaps when things didn't quite work out as she might have imagined. Losing Jesus, losing him when he stayed in the temple, when they'd been to Jerusalem for the Passover when he was about 12 years old. When he was older, the things that he was doing, the things that were happening to him, his death. Lots of it would not have made any sense at all. But she had that promise. Those things that God had spoken to her about. Those words that the angel had said and that she herself recognised in the words that she sang back to God. Knowing that scripture can be personal to us, that God speaks to us personally into our lives through his word. A word that in that sense doesn't change, that he is faithful to, that he demonstrates his love for us too, allowing him to speak through scripture. And often, certainly in my experience, verses that God has given to me, particularly in difficult times, are ones that come back. They kind of, I put them under a bracket of knowing that they're my life verses. God has spoken to me at significant times, sometimes difficult times in my life. And those verses are ones that I go back to and I remind myself of, things that God has said to me personally, how he views me, how he wants to remain faithful for me to know his love for me. Verses that God gives in difficult circumstances that can restore that joy of knowing God and Jesus as the hope in and for our lives. Mary understood that she'd been personally chosen, but I think she also understood that she was to be part of a plan that was much bigger than her and her life. And maybe that's why she was able to respond with such joy in song. What was happening to her was not just about her. It was about God also using her for his purposes. And so she perhaps didn't worry in quite the same way.